ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
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 ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 1 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 12 ಟೈಟಲ್ Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Text number 35, and there is one more verse that doesn't have a purport, and that is the end of this chapter. So we'll be reading two verses today.
Ahuto Bhagavan Rajna Yajayitva Dvichay Nrinatvam ಉವಾಸ ಕಚಿನ್ಮಾಸ ಸುಹೃದಾಂ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಕಾಮ್ಯಯ
ಆಹೂತಃ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ರಾಜ್ಞಾ by the king, yajayitva, causing to be performed, vijayhi, by the learned brahmanas, nripam, on behalf of the king, uvasa, presided, kadichit, a few, maasan, months, suhridam, for the sake of the relatives, Priya Kamya, for the pleasure. Translation: Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhishthir, so to it that they were performed by qualified, twice-born brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthir to look into the supervision of the performance of Yajna, and the Lord, to abide by the order of his elderly cousins, caused the performance of Yajnas by learned twice-born brahmanas. Simply taking birth in the family of a brahmana does not make one qualified to perform yajnas. One must be twice born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya. The once born sons of brahmana families are equal with the once born shudra, and such brahma bandhus or unqualified once born sons must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he is, he caused the yajnas to be performed by the bona fide twice born brahmanas for successful execution. Verse number 36.
ತದೋ ರಾಜ್ಞಾಭ್ಯನುಜ್ಞಾತ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಸಹ ಬಂಧುಭಿಃ ಯಯೋದ್ವಾರ ವತೀಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಸಾರ್ಜುನೋ ಯದುಹುರ್ವೃತ.
ಓ ಶನಕ, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhishthir, Draupadi and other relatives, started for the city of Dwaraka, accompanied by Arjun and other members of the Yadu dynasty. Thus, the end of Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते सप्तकांजन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा सो वी आर अबाउट टू फिनिश दिस चैप्टर titled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. So these are the last two verses of this chapter narrating how the Lord actually made sure the sacrifice is going okay, and after that he departed to Dwaraka along with Arjun and other members of the Yadu dynasty. So here in the first sentence itself we can see the relationship of Pandavas and Krishna. So the purport very briefly explains how the Lord was abided by the orders of or request of Pandavas. So this prompts us to think about the intimate relationship of Pandavas and Krishna. So as we know, the Pandavas are eternal associates of Krishna. So wherever the Lord performs his pastimes, the Pandavas follow in different capacities. So this is the position, this is the exalted position of Pandavas. Generally, Pandavas are seen as heroes of Mahabharata. Yes, they are heroes. Because they are strictly following the orders and giving pleasure to Lord Krishna himself. Now, if we try to see the relationship of different Pandavas to Krishna, it is really amazing. In Bhagavatam, three personalities are described as servants of Krishna. That is, specifically they are addressed as Haridasas. Haridas means servant of Krishna. One of those servants of Krishna is Uddhava himself. Uddhava, he is the counselor, he is the minister of Krishna in Dwaraka. So Uddhava is known as Haridas. Okay, all the devotees of Krishna are Haridasas, but specific mention is given about Uddhava as Haridas. Second Haridas is Giriraj himself. He is not just Haridas, but he is known as Haridasa Varya. He is best among the servants of Krishna, for he himself is Krishna. He himself is an expansion of Krishna. As we know the past time, he is coming from the heart of Lord Krishna himself. So that is second Haridas that is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third Haridas is none other than Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is specifically addressed as Haridas. So we can see the intimate relationship of Yudhishthira Maharaj to Krishna. Krishna always treated Yudhishthira Maharaj as his elder brother. By relation, his elder cousin. So the Lord always maintained that etiquette. So it is mentioned, one of the qualities of Krishna, that whenever he would meet Yudhishthira Maharaj, he would never give a chance for Yudhishthira Maharaj to touch his feet. Nor would he give a chance to pay obeisances. So it is mentioned once, for even in this incident, Lord Shri Krishna was coming in the chariot and Maharaj Yudhishthira, he wanted to pay obeisances. So the time Maharaj Yudhishthira thought, okay, I'm going to give pay obeisances right now. The time he was thinking, the Lord got down from the chariot and paid obeisances at the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So see how intimate the relationship between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Lord Krishna. So this is the position of Pandavas. And now, even in this pastime, in this specific pastime, when Yudhishthira Maharaj requested the Lord to stay back for a few months, the Lord followed that order. So this is Yudhishthira Maharaj. This is Pandavas. Think about the next Pandava. Bhimasen. Bhimasen was elder to Krishna. Right? Elder to Krishna. And he also, so Krishna respected Bhimasen also. And we can see the intimate dealings between Bhimasen and Krishna. Bhimasen is known for two things primarily. One is eating. He is vrikodara, yeah, he's a voracious eater. Then also what is the other? If he eats, then he has to perform Herculean tasks and fighting and killing. So we know at least a couple of times directly Krishna guiding Bhimasen in terms of fighter, in terms of fight. One was while killing Jarasandha. Because he showed what to do. You cannot actually kill him when you had to tear apart and flip the other side so the body won't get joined. So we know that past time, how Krishna instructed. And what was the second time? Duryodhan. Because the Lord showed him, okay, if you have to defeat him, you had to play unfair game in one sense. So he showed the thigh. The thigh to which Duryodhan had invited Draupadi. So he offended Mother Draupadi. So to that, Bhimasen could take revenge. And Krishna personally guided. So we can see the intimate dealings. Then how about Arjun? Arjun was friend of Krishna. You know, intimate friend, equal. And in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna showed Vishwarup, the universal form, then actually Arjun actually got bewildered and his relationship of Sakya got shaken. That time Arjun actually revealed his heart. He said, how friendly have I dealt with you so many times? He said, Saketi Matva Prasapam Yuduktam He Krishna He Yadava He Saketi Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam Maya Pramada Pranena Chapi. He said, I have addressed you as Hey Krishna, Hey Yadav, Hey Sakha. I address you, you know, just like a mate. And it's like, you know, Hey Sakha, oh my dear friend. Hey Yadav, this is the way Arjun used to address Krishna. And now Arjun is thinking, how could I address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose Vishwarup I am seeing now, in this like way? Ajanata Mahimananta Vedam. I didn't know your glories. Maya pramada pranayana vapi. That is a very interesting statement. Krishna Arjun saying, Maya, by me, pramadat. Pramada means madness. Did I address you because of my madness? Or pranayana vapi? Or because of love? So we can see it's not because of madness. Even if there is madness, it is only because of pranaya. It is only because of love. Then Arjun continues. Now, we ate together. We slept together. So we did so many things together. So we were just friends. So this is the intimate relationship of Krishna and Arjun. And later, after Vishwarup, they again became friends. So, you know, Arjun couldn't actually continue his mood of awe and reverence for a long time. So he covered over, you know, Krishna came back to his four-handed form, then to two-handed form. And the relationship of Sakya continued. So this is the relationship of Arjun and Krishna. How about Nakul and Sahadev? They were younger to Krishna and they used to pay obeisances and they used to seek blessings from the Lord. And Nakul and Sahadev, he was considered the most intelligent. He is considered most intelligent. So in even Rajasuya sacrifice, when it was time to glorify, you know, why we have chosen Krishna for Agra Puja, so why we have chosen Krishna for the supreme most worship, the explanation was given by Sahadev, because he is considered shrewd and intelligent. So he glorified Krishna. There is no one in the three worlds who is as glorious as Krishna. So we have to worship Krishna only. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Even though he comes in the Yadu dynasty. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in that way, all the five Pandavas had intimate relationship with Krishna. Then how about their wife, Draupadi? It is mentioned that when Draupadi called for Krishna's help, "Hey Govinda," Krishna became completely obliged and he had to facilitate the necessity of Draupadi. Krishna says, "I felt obliged completely. Just one call, hey Govinda." So this is the relationship of Draupadi and Krishna. How about their mother, Kunti Devi? Kunti Devi is auntie of Krishna, motherly position. And Kunti Devi was glorifying beautiful prayers we can see in the first canto, 8th chapter. Mother Kunti's prayers, Kunti Devi's prayers. And also we can see Subhadra Devi. Subhadra also has an intimate relationship, right? Uttara, basically. I just meant Uttara. Uttara had an intimate relation, and it is very interesting that it is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that while Kunti Devi was praying, Uttara was also praying for two different reasons. It occurred simultaneously. That is, Kunti Devi was praying to the Lord because the Lord was about to depart from Hastinapur. So Kunti Devi started praying, Namasya Purusham Tadyam Isharam Pragadeya Param Alaksham Sarabhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. So Kunti Devi started praying, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead with His opulence. He is a Supreme Mystic. Namasya Purusham Tadyam, you are the original Personality of Godhead. Isharam Pragadeya Param, and you are above the material nature. And you are inside and outside. You are all pervasive. Andar bahir avastitam. So when Mother Kunti was praying and pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that way, simultaneously Uttara was praying for help. Right? Pahi pahi mahabhago deva deva jagadguru. She started praying because now the Brahmastra weapon is about to destroy her womb, Maharaj Parikshit. So these two instances happened simultaneously. So the Lord is glorified as Supreme Mystic because while the Lord was hearing the prayers of Mother Kunti, He could enter into the womb of Mother Uttara and save Maharaj Parikshit. So this is the relationship of all the Pandavas and Lord Shri Krishna. So when we try to understand this relationship, there is a very sweet exchange that is going on between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. Because Shukadev Goswami narrates all these pastimes to Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit is not just hearing, sleeping and, it's just going on, just going on. When is it going to finish? Sometimes when we hear pastimes and when we hear Bhagavatam, we go, we get into trance. Not because of ecstasy, because of we are tired sometimes. Devotees are tired, it's a fact. And when we hear, we get some time to sit, then suddenly mind wanders, we tend to sleep. But he was in rapt attention, he was listening, and it was not just listening, but he was in ecstasy. This is a very interesting point, because even if you pick Bhagavad Gita, when Arjun was hearing Bhagavad Gita from Lord Shri Krishna, he went into ecstasy. So in 10th chapter it is mentioned, 11th chapter it is mentioned, Totta Kamala Patraksha Mahatmyam Abhi Chavyam. He says, he addresses the Lord as Kamala Patraksha, O Lotus Eyed Lord. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as the Lotus Eyed because of ecstasy. So even though he is in the middle of a battlefield, he is in ecstasy because he is hearing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is all attractive. Similarly, here Maharaj Parikshit, he goes into ecstasy when he hears from Shukadev Goswami. And there is a hot exchange happening between Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. It's not monotonous, it is not just, just repetition. No, he's hearing with rapt attention and he's going into ecstasy. And Shukadev Goswami, who is a spiritual master, he can judge what's going on in his disciple's heart. So, it is mentioned around in 5th canto, till 5th canto, many pastimes of the Lord was narrated by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So he talked about Uttanabad, he talked about Dhruva Maharaj, he talked about Rishabdev, he talked about Priyavrata, so many things Parikshit Maharaj heard. So then Sukadeva Goswami could judge, he could see the heart of his disciple and he could judge. There is some kind of despondency in the heart of Maharaj Parikshit. And what was the reason for this sadness, a slight morose feeling? The reason was judged by Sukadeva Goswami, and the reason was, yes, Sukadeva Goswami talked about so many great personalities, so many great devotees, and Maharaj Parikshit started thinking about his own position. He's thinking, I am not such a great devotee, and my lineage may not be that great. You know, how about me? You know, he was saying, I am not such a great devotee. And he forgot completely about his glorious lineage. He is coming from a lineage of all pure devotees who are the eternal associates of the Lord. So he forgot about that. And Sukadeva Goswami could judge, okay, this is what is going on in the heart of Maharaj Parikshit. So to revive, to build that enthusiasm in the heart of Maharaj Parikshit, he actually glorified Pandavas. Mm-hmm. So that is very interesting, because you know, just like a spiritual master, he wants to enthuse his disciple. He can, you know, he can encourage him by some words of glorification, maybe some, you know, reminding some good things they have done. In the same way, Maharaj Parikshit was reminded of his glorious ancestors. So there is a very nice verse. It said, "Rajan Pitur Guru Alam Bhagavan Bhavatam Yadunam." Daivam Priya Kulapati Kocha Kinkarova Astoyam Anka Bhagavan Bhajatam Mukunto Muktim Dadati Karhechit Smana Bhakti Yoga. He said, actually don't worry about anyone else. Just think about yourself and also think about your whole dynasty. How glorious are they? The reason is, the Lord has acted in such a wonderful way to your ancestors. So he says, Rajan, he is addressing Maharaj Parikshit, Rajan, you, Patil, he acted as Pati. Pati means the protector. Guru means the spiritual master. The Krishna acted as the spiritual master of the Pandavas. Alam Bhavatam Yaduna, of Bhavatam, of yourself and your dynasty, as well as Yadus, the Yadu dynasty. Daivam means the most worshipable Lord. Priya, the dear most. Kulapati, you know, there is the forefather who is looking after the whole family. Kulapati, Kocha Kinkarava, and not only that, most amazingly, the Lord has acted as Kinkara. Kinkara means as a servant. Then he says, so the Lord has reciprocated in such a beautiful way to you and all your dynasty. So why are you actually morose? Rather, you be enthused. Then he concludes the statement. That is, Muktim Dadati Karhichit Mana Bhakti Yoga. The Lord is happy to give Mukti. Mukti means freedom from the cycle of repeated birth and death, the liberation. He is happy to give Mukti. If you want Mukti, okay, Krishna will give. It is said, as we can hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita, even one doesn't need Shuddhanam to get Mukti. A shadow of Shuddhanam can give Mukti. So that is the position of Mukti. So Krishna easily awards Mukti. Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam, but he will not give bhakti yogam, he will not give bhakti so easily. That is one of the characteristics of bhakti. So here Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning that, okay, here he acted even as a kinkar, as a servant. So since the Lord could be controlled by bhakti, so the Lord doesn't want to give bhakti so easily. A similar mention is there in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, where Sukadeva Goswami glorifies Maharaj Prahlad Maharaj. So again, Maharaj Parikshit started thinking low about himself. So to encourage, again Maharaj Parikshit again reminded of his glorious ancestors. So this time, Sukadeva Goswami presents in a very interesting way. He says, Yuyam Nirloke Bahubhuri Bhaga. He mentioned Yuyam, yourself, Nirloke Badabhuri Bhaga. Usually in the material world, everyone is unfortunate. That's the state of material world. Everyone is unfortunate. But in contrast to that, your good self and your family, they are the most fortunate. Bahu bhuri bhaga. Bhuri bhaga means, bhuri means so much. It's all good fortune unto you. Why? Lokam punana munim abhayanti. The reason is, all the great sages were visiting the palace of Pandavas. And also Maharaj Parikshit. All great sages, they would just assemble at the palace of Pandavas. There is a reason. Why? The reason is, he says, Esham Guhan Avasatiti Sakshat Gudham Param Brahma Manishalingam. The Lord, who had apparently assumed a human-like form, is now residing in the palace of Pandavas. So, to see the Lord, along with his associates, all these great sages, they are visiting the palace of Pandavas. You see? So, one of the characteristics of bhakti is, Sri Krishna Agashani Mata, that is, Kritva Harim Prem Bhajam, Priyavarga Samanitam, Bhaktir Vashikaravati Iti, Sri Krishna Agashani Mata. That is, Bhaktir Vashikaravati, bhakti can attract, and not just the Lord, Lord along with his associates. So, it is the characteristics of bhakti, six characteristics. One is Sri Krishna Agashani, where Sri is representing, not just Lakshmi Devi, Sri is representing all the devotees of the Lord. So all the pure devotees are attracted by bhakti along with the Supreme Lord. So when one actually gets purified, it's not just attracting the Lord, but one has the best relation with all the devotees also. So that is Sri Krishna Akarshani Mata. So this was the kind of intimate relationship that Pandavas had with the Supreme Lord. And now, as it is mentioned here, even in the first line of the purport, the Lord was happy to stay with Pandavas. When they requested, when Maharaj Yudhishthira requested the Lord to stay back for a few months, the Lord was happy. He stayed back because of this loving relationship. So this characteristics of the Lord is known as Atma Paryanta Vadanyata. Atma Paryanta Vadanyata. That is, He is ready to be completely given away to His own devotees. And the height of that is shown in Braj, in Vrindavan. But we can see the similar characteristics the Lord is manifesting in relation to Pandavas, where He is ready to follow the instructions of His own pure devotees. Now, moving forward, the next point that is mentioned in this purport is about the issue of Brahman by birth. Because many people do claim that they are Brahman by birth. And that is a major issue, especially in India, because still there is, as it is said, some remnants. Even as it is said, the Vedic culture is a dead elephant. It's a dead elephant. So Prabhupada said it's a dead elephant. So India, there is a dead elephant. So people do show off their Brahminical prowess on the strength of just a thread. So I can remember one time I was with my dad. I went to one temple and there was a raised platform, and my father paid obeisances, and following him I also went, and I was about to pay obeisances. So he had a thread and I didn't have a thread that time. So he paid obeisances, and that was alright. Then when I was able to pay obeisances, the pujari came and he stopped. He said, "You can't pay obeisances." I asked him why. I couldn't actually realize why, because my dad did, so I can also do. So I was thinking in the same way. He said, "No, you don't have a thread." He asked, "What caste do you belong to?" And I said, "I didn't bother, I just got out from there." So this is the mentality. It's still very strong. It's very strong. Even, I can remember even around, a family temple where we went, I just went by myself, and I went after many, many years. So no one knew me. They actually, I went there, when I entered, they started questioning me. I think 5-6 old ladies surrounded me and started questioning me. Who is your mother? Who is your father? You don't have a thread, who are you? This is the situation. So, at least some places, this kind of issues are still there. So, this is wrong understanding of Brahmanism. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one reason for the symptom of Kali and why the whole Vedic culture was completely extinguished because of the fall down of Brahminical caste. That is, the people claim that they are Brahmanas by birthright. So, that is one strong reason for this. And for them, for this kind of caste Brahmana, the thread is of no use. As you know, one devotee was mentioning, the best use of the Brahman thread is scratching to scratch the back perfectly. They get the expertise in scratching the back at the right spot. So they can use the thread and they can scratch. So this is one use of the thread. This is a caste Brahmana, you know, no real purpose. There is no real meaning to it. And Srila Prabhupada, one time, he was in Bombay, so there was one incident. So, you know, usually there is a pastime of the mic falling down. It's falling down from the stand, you know, always. It's a eternal pastime. You know, always happens. You know, when speaking, you know, the mic is going down. It happens. So, at the time of Srila Prabhupada also, the same thing happened. That is, the mic, you know, it's not fixing, you know, always, you know, starts speaking and it goes down. So Srila Prabhupada, he called one of his disciples, he was a Brahmin. He said, "You remove your thread and give it to me." Brahmin thread. So he actually removed the thread and gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "You tie it nicely to hold the mic." He said, "This is the best use of your Brahmin thread." So just to make the point, it's not that we have to do the same. No, we shouldn't actually remove the Brahmin thread. But Srila Prabhupada actually showed, okay, there is a higher principle. It's not just the thread. He showed it's not just the thread. So we have to understand this principle. And we can even see the acharyas like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who actually worked hard to establish the superiority of Vaishnavism over Brahmanism. In briefly telling the pastime, it was so intense, this smartha Brahmanism, so intense in Bengal, was even someone was initiated, twice initiated, Brahminically initiated, they were not allowed to touch Thalagram Shila, actually, and they shouldn't chant Gayatri Mantra. This was the rule set by caste Brahmins, smartha Brahmins. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was lamented, he was lamenting to hear this. And he was so sick, and there was a big conference organized where a debate was organized between the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas to show what is the right way to do. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was supposed to go for this conference, and he got sick, and he got severely sick, and he couldn't actually get out from his bed. And he was lamenting who is going to represent Vaishnavas. And he was crying in that way. Suddenly Bhaktisiddhanta came and he read out a paper written by him, and it was Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And in that paper, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard that paper, he became so happy, and he said, he blessed his son, and he said, "You go and present this to all the people." And he went to this conference, and he was actually welcomed properly. And first day, and he gave a lecture like hours together. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur referenced Shastras, he gave lecture like 3-4 hours in one go. And first day he actually glorified Brahmanas. He quoted so many quotations from so many Shastras glorifying Brahmanas, the elevated position of Brahmanas. And all the Brahmanas presented in the assembly, they became elated, they became so happy, they became jubilant hearing the glories of Brahmanas. They thought, we never had heard such glories about ourselves. So actually Bhaktisiddhanta is pretty good. He's glorifying so much Brahmanas. So they became very happy. And after that, he gave a strong lecture establishing the superior position of Vaishnavas above Brahmanas. And with that, they got completely smashed. And some of them, they actually presenting various arguments against the presentation of Bhaktisiddhanta, but those arguments were refuted, well, you know, just like that, without any difficulty. So all the Brahmanas and all the Vaishnavas, they all became completely satisfied, and some of the Brahmanas, they couldn't do anything, and the devotees, they became completely happy, they became jubilant. And it is said, towards the end, he gave a 2-hour lecture, Bhaktisiddhanta, the concluding lecture, and in that lecture, he smashed everything and he completely established Vaishnavism. And at the end, all the devotees, there were thousands upon thousands of devotees, and they wanted to touch the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta. And they wanted to drink the water which was bathed the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta. And it became such a chaos that police has to arrive. And the police said to, you know, appease the mob, they had to catch hold of Bhaktisiddhanta, and they took him to a separate room, a private room. The police actually washed the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta and collected water in a big bucket and distributed among the crowd. In that way, the whole crowd was, you know, satisfied, they were pacified and they left happily. So this is how actually Bhaktisiddhanta had to work hard to establish Vaishnavism. So what is going on? We can see the previous acharyas, how they actually had foreseen what's going on now in the ISKCON society. And Bhaktisiddhanta, when he went with his party on Yatra to Vrindavan, he was not welcomed properly. Some of them were throwing stones. Some of the temples, Goswamis, they closed the temples because Bhaktisiddhanta initiated everyone into Vaishnavism. He gave Brahmantra to everyone who were qualified. So the Brahmanical qualification is not just by birth, but by qualification. That is, one has to be one's activity. It's not just Janma. It is karma, it's activities and qualification. That will determine what is the actual strength. Similarly, we can see such kind of a strong tendencies towards caste Brahmanism in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. A famous example is that of Subhadrai. He was briefly telling the pastime. Subhadrai, he was a great personality, he was a great devotee. And he had a servant, a Muslim servant. And he used to treat him with love. At the same time, if he steals or if he does some naughty thing, he would punish him. So this Muslim servant later became Nawab Hussain Shah. So one time, Nawab Hussain Shah was with his wife, and the wife showed some, you know, the beating marks on his back. Then the wife asked him, "Why such marks on your body?" Then the Hussain Shah said, "Yes, Subhadrai, I was his servant and he punished me because I did some naughty things." So the wife became, queen became very agitated, and she said, "We must kill him. We must kill Subhadrai." So Hussain Shah, he was quite grateful. He said, "We can't kill him because he had actually supported me so nicely, so I can't do that. But we can do something else." So his wife said, "Okay, we will convert this Subhadrai into Muslim." So Hussain Shah, he took some water from his water pot and threw upon Subhadrai. So this was the system. If someone touches just water on the body from a Muslim, then one is converted automatically. So Subhadrai was converted into Muslim. So he was thinking what to do. In fact, Subhadrai was such a great devotee. He took this as a blessing of Krishna, because he wanted to retire from his family life and he wanted to actually take sannyas. So he thought, okay, this is a wonderful opportunity. He left home straight away. He went to Banaras. Then he started asking people, learned Brahmanas, "Okay, this thing has happened, now what to do?" So the smarter Brahmanism was so strong, some of the Brahmanas said, "Okay, you can, there is a solution. The solution is straightforward, that is, drink boiling ghee and in that way commit, give up the life." This was the solution given by Brahmanas: drink boiling ghee. So and other people said, no, you don't have to drink boiling ghee, something else. So the solution was nothing positive or great. So Subhadrai understood, these people don't know what they are speaking. They don't know, conclusively they can't present what is the right atonement for this. So the news came up to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was present in Varanasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You don't have to give up life, or you don't have to do any kind of these kind of atonements. Rather, you go to Vrindavan and you chant Hare Krishna." So this is our conclusion. That is, you don't have to worry about anything. No caste Brahman or something, nothing. We will get qualified for everything just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So simply chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one will get all qualifications to perform the Lord. So that's the reason Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully spread this movement on the strength of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we have to understand the strength of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have to understand the strength of bhakti. So bhakti can control the Supreme Lord Himself, and simply by the process of bhakti, one can be qualified for anything. So this is the point that we have to understand. And when we do devotion service, sometimes we slack, or many times we can slack. And we can do half-heartedly. "Oh, again, you know, I have to do, you know, oh, again, you know, again this." Now this is actually only because of some anarthas we are feeling in this way. "Oh, again I have to go, again I have to work hard." As if in the material world, there is no hard work. Now devotees may think, you know, who are working, serving full-time may think, "Okay, it's hard work." But the point is, material world means hard work. There is no easy life in the material world. It's only an illusion that there is an easy life. Material life means hard work. So when we actually adjust our mentality, and along with proper sadhana, when we actually serve the Lord, then we can see how the Lord is reciprocating. So that is true to any service actually. One can be blissful with any service. So that is the nature of bhakti. Because bhakti doesn't say, okay, only one service one can be blissful. No. Any service one can be blissful. That is the reality. So, Srila Prabhupada's movement is giving this opportunity for all of us. So our only position is just to grab on to that and keep going. So the result is assured. As Prabhupada said, you know, chant Hare Krishna, four regulative principles, then he will take everyone to back to Godhead. So this is the position, this is the benefit that we have, this is the gift that we have. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhupada.
Yeah.
I don't know in details about that. What you're saying is right, but I don't know the details on that. I don't know much to elaborate. Yeah.
Why is it stressed that we take first and second initiation and then we are around thread and chant the guys?
The reason is, in fact, originally in our tradition, even it was not necessary to have Brahmin thread for Vaishnavas. Specifically, this second initiation with Brahmin thread was established by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there was a reason for this. One is, a Vaishnava who is qualified, he is already Brahmin. He doesn't have to do any separate endeavor to become Brahmin. He is already a Brahmin by the strength of chanting, by the strength of devotional service. But in the society, there was this misunderstanding that Brahmin is superior because of thread. This misunderstanding was very prominent. Still we can see that kind of a mentality. So to prove that a Vaishnava is already a Brahmin, he has already Brahminical qualification and he can always have Brahmin thread, there is no problem with that. To show that, Bhaktisiddhanta actually started Brahminical initiation in terms of the thread to everyone. So he started that process. So to show that a Vaishnava is already a Brahmin, so a Vaishnava can wear a Brahmin thread. Then, when it comes to the Gayatri Mantra, specific need of Gayatri Mantra, it is said, first initiation is the Harinam initiation where we are getting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And the Brahminical initiation or where we get the Gayatri Mantra, the prime reason for that is one can worship the deity. So to chant the Mula Mantras generally, that is the time we are given the mantras by which we can worship the deity. That is the significance of Gayatri Mantra. That too, we use Gopala Mantra, we use a different mantra in the deity worship. So those mantras are given at the time of second initiation. So Harinam initiation is enough to purify. Harinam initiation purifies, but for specifically to engage in the deity worship, we need the Mula Mantras. We need the Gayatri Mantras. So that's the reason that is given at the Brahminical initiation. So because that is required to worship the deities. So that's the reason one worship the deity only after Brahminical initiation, the second initiation.
Yeah. We also see the Lord wear the Brahmin thread.
Yeah.
Even we see Bhagavatam in the picture. The Supreme Lord is also wearing the Brahmin thread.
Yeah.
Could you comment on that?
The Lord acts as a, in one sense, he functions according to, say, if you see the Lord here also, we can see the thread. The Lord, he is the Supreme Lord. At the same time, he functions sometimes according to different Varna and Ashram, even though he is not restricted. So we can see Lord, you can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he acted as a Brahmin. You know, he took a Brahmin birth, he acted as a Brahmin. The Lord, Krishna himself, he acted as a Kshatriya in this Dwaraka pastime, and we can see him wearing the Brahmin dress. And generally, all the upper three castes, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Brahmana, they had Brahmin thread according to the social system. So the Lord, he's enacting his pastime, so he has Brahmin thread all the time. Always. It's eternal. And as it is mentioned, that Brahmin thread is not material at all, because that Brahmin thread is an expansion of Baladev. So Baladev is expanding as Brahmin thread. It's in one way of serving the Lord. So the Lord is not bound by Brahmin thread, but at the same time, he's accepting service. So you can see, yeah.
Satya Yuga is
doing Satya Yuga, as it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, generally it is said the main Varna is Hamsa. So the full establishment of Varnashram is not there in Satya Yuga, but at the same time, so the primary Varna is Hamsa. Most of them are highly qualified devotees. Hamsa is Eka Varna, generally it's Eka Varna, it is one Varna primarily. Yeah.
And so they
are on, yeah, generally they are on high, generally prominently it is on the highest platform, Hamsa. At the same time, it is also mentioned that it doesn't mean that there is no ruling class. There is some establishment. Some ruling class is there to establish the society to some degree. It's not completely absent. So we can see that from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned where a couple of kings, they are still hiding. I think Kalapa, I think some kings are hiding. They are waiting to finish the Kali Yuga so that they can actually re-establish a saintly society. So they are hiding in some place, it is mentioned, some place names are mentioned. So they are there, so still there is kind of ruling, some establishment is there, but primarily it is Kamsa. It's not like, you know, completely there is no ruling at all, or, you know, it's completely everyone is independent, everyone is just in the caves. It's not exactly like that. There is a kind of ruling also there. There's kind of kingly structure is still there, even in Satya Yuga. But they are also highly Brahminical, highly in the Hamsa, in the pure devotee, like devotee, highly elevated devotee platform. Yeah.
Prabhu, if we actually see there are no caste Brahmanas, because those who claim to be born in Brahmin families, actually they don't know that their forefathers, like the great Brahmanas, the seven main rishis, they were called Brahmanas because they were doing the devotional service to the Lord and they were reading the Shastra, writing the Shastra also and distributing the knowledge. But with the, you know, succession of so many generations, they forgot to do those devotional activities, but they just claim to be born in Brahmin families. So actually, nobody is a Brahmana by birth, but they are all Vaishnavas if they follow the regulated principles and the Shastras and the devotional service of the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So we were mentioning that Lord is happy to be mukti.
Yeah.
So how do we judge this statement with the devotees who are performing these services? So are they not going to they don't know the Krishna?
Okay, two answers to that question, two aspects to that. One is who is actually giving bhakti? How we became devotees? By the mercy of the devotees. So it is said, one aspect is, it's not that Krishna is directly giving bhakti. Bhakti is the property of his devotees, pure devotees. So ultimately it is said, bhakti is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. Where is bhakti present? In the heart of pure devotees. And ultimately, Srimati Radharani, from the heart of pure devotees. The source of bhakti is heart of pure devotees. We can very well see that in our movement, in Krishna consciousness movement, because it is all coming from the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Correct? Bhakti is coming from whatever we are doing, how many devotees are made, so many wonderful devotees are there, so many pure devotees are there. They are all coming from the bhakti in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. So the ultimate cause of bhakti is the heart of your devotee. Okay? So that is one reason. In that way, Lord is not directly giving, but his devotees are giving. That is one aspect of that. Second aspect is, which is, as I mentioned, that is, bhakti is actually very confidential. And one of the quality of bhakti in its highest state is that it is very rare to achieve. And that bhakti is pure bhakti. That is very, even the stage of bhava prema, it is very, very rare to achieve. Even for a normal person to become devotee, it is very rare, correct? For us to become, how many people are becoming devotees? Not many. So just to get bhakti, to get the bhakti lata, be the seed of devotion service, that itself is rare. Then what to speak about nourishing and maturing and coming to the purer platforms of bhakti? So there it is mentioned, sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means very rarely achieved. So there are two reasons why it is sudurlabha. One reason is, one cannot just purchase bhakti. Okay, I want to become pure, like that. No. One has to satisfy a pure devotee and he has to actually give that bhakti. He has to become merciful. Mahiyasam padarajophishekam nishkinchananam navranita yavat. So only by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, only by that mercy one can actually come to, even beginning of bhakti is true, and even going to the higher stages of bhakti. One cannot do by one's own endeavor. We can think in materially everything, we can achieve things by my own endeavor. That's the material confidence. But in terms of bhakti, yes, we have to endeavor, but we have to understand we need the mercy. And that too, mahiyasam padarajobhishekam, mahiyasam, one who is a pure devotee, padarajobhishekam. Without that mercy, we cannot come to that higher stages of bhakti. It's not possible. The beginning is not possible. Coming to a higher platform is also not possible. So, one cannot achieve by one's own endeavor. Second is, why it is rare? Because Krishna doesn't want to give. Well, Krishna will test. Krishna doesn't want to give so easily. Because with bhakti, we can control Krishna. So, Krishna just doesn't want to be controlled without pure love. So Krishna will test everything. Okay, is he qualified? Okay, then bhakti will be given. See, so if one is qualified, so one of the explanation to this particular verse is that is muktim dadadikar hijasmana bhakti yogam. That is, if one come to a platform where no material desire, okay, there is no material desire, and one is engaged in devotion service, then there is this offering of mukti. Offering of mukti is there. So if one goes for that, then there is no higher bhakti. You see? If one goes for that, then there is no higher bhakti. So as Rupa Goswami says, the mukti is considered black witch. So now we may think, what is mukti? It is, you know, okay, mukti. So everything is far away from us, correct? Currently, if you think mukti, everything is far away. Mukti is far away, bhakti is far away, everything is far away. But as one gets progressed in devotional service, when one actually becomes elevated, it is said, Muktir Mugila Mukhilitanchali Sevatesman. For a pure devotee, Muktir Mukhilitanchali Sevatesman. That is, Billamakal Thakur says, yes, Mukti is folding her hands and coming in front of you, okay, how can I serve you? So if one actually takes that service, then for him, there is no higher bhakti. One cannot come to bhava or prema, it's not possible. So there can be an offering of Mukti, but one should never go for that, even in the higher stages of bhakti. So these are the different, you know, understanding about this particular statement. Yeah. Yeah. So Rupa Goswami wants this. One is bhukti and mukti. I want bhukti is material enjoyment, which is our current problem. We are not so much worried about mukti at this stage. when one is actually purified of this material thing, then mukti is an issue. If one is going for, because material enjoyment, so many kinds of suffering can be there. Then one can think, okay, mukti. I want to just get rid of my suffering. That is another last snare of Maya. So one has to even go beyond that. So that is. Yeah.
I just want to comment on the book. The liberation is not spiritual because from the liberation point of view, we practice the devotion service. If we want to annihilate ourselves, we don't want to serve Krishna and we don't want to serve Krishna, then that book is not spiritual.
Correct.
Just to be on that liberation.
Yeah, that's
because we need to be liberated from our false ego.
Yes.
At the end, we will be not doing devotion to the service, we will be purifying ourselves from our ego. And because the mind has the tendency to work for ourselves, and okay, we are free from that ego. So consciously or subconsciously, we will look for ourselves, not for creation. Okay. Other things you mentioned before, this is a question, you mentioned that Uttara was trained for protection of Harishit in the same time as Kunti Devi. I was thinking, you were thinking of Kunti Devi when she was trained to Krishna and Varaka to save them, before Kunti Varaka. And I was thinking the time is, for me, it doesn't look right.
Doesn't look right? Okay.
Because after Kurukshetra, that happened during the Kurukshetra when Ashwatthama was still in the bed, then after he killed the four children of Prabhupada, and all this, he was rejected and he was thrown, and you know, he was cursed to devils. I don't think he appeared later when the Kurukshetra is finished and Krishna said he killed it. I don't think it was the same time.
Yeah. May not be the same prayer then, because I had to just have recently just going through Nectar Devotion a few days back. Then there was mentioned this. May not be the Lord was present and maybe simultaneously entered the womb of Mother Uttara.
But that's different.
That's different. May not be the same prayer then. Yeah, but there is a mention about. You could be right, I'm sure, either. So there is a mention of Kunti Devi in that particular section of Nectar Devotion. I can just take a look. Maybe I'm right or I'm wrong, I don't know.
Maybe it's about different prayer.
Could be a different prayer, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, I can clarify, but thank you. And the first point is also very nice, that is Manit Mukti, of course, because it's meant Brahma Buddha Prasanna, Samasarvati. Yeah. So when we, where here it's mentioned Mukti Mdadadikar, that is specifically mentioning about the impersonal liberation. So that's it. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthasya Mad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.